And I believe we were just discussing this like very fascinating exchange between Rabbi Avigdor and the Or Zeruah. So again, a little bit of the background. So the background is the Gemara here on Gimel Amud Aleph, right, where the Gemara basically says that, you know, again, Gemara's trouble, just will go run through it very quickly again just to get the background. The Gemara basically says that how can Befana Nechtam work, which is what the Mishnah establishes on base Amud Aleph, hello. After all, we have a rule, and that is that Davar Sheba'erva requires two Edom. We're going to talk about that question as well. So the Gemara says, "Ularava Damar Lefishen Edom Mitzuyin Lekaimo Liboy Trei Midid Haba Kiyim Shtaros Di Alma." So Kiyim Shtaros, meaning when you have to verify the or authenticate the signatures in order to authenticate a contract. So that should require two witnesses. How can one shliach, you know, serve that function here in a get? That's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara responds initially, Eid Echad Neman B'Yisurin. Okay. So then the Gemara says, what do you mean Eid Echad Neman B'Yisurin? Eid Echad is believed in matters of Yisur V'Hatar. Eimer Darmina Eid Echad Neman B'Yisurin K'ngon Chaticha Safek Chelev Safek Shuman Deloes Chazak Yisura. It's true that Eid Echad is Neman B'Yisurim, but that's usually, or at least we're not sure if it goes beyond, it's actually Machlokas Rishonim L'Halakha, but both the Gemara here and the Gemara parallel, Gemara Nivamos, assume initially, at least, that it isn't obvious that Eid Echad is Neman B'Yisurim, Keneged Ischazak Yisura, and it's to override a presumptive state. However, what is clear, although Gemara doesn't actually provide a makar, and this is like a big, big discussion in the Rishonim, how do we know this rule of Eid Echad Neman, you know, B'Yisurim? So what is clear is that that it applies in a neutral state. So if you have, you know, a drink on the table and you're not sure whether it's, you know, kosher Coke or non-kosher Coke, and the Eid Echad tells you that it's kosher, that's, you know, Safek Chelev, Safek Shuman, essentially. So we believe they dachan. Bavel Hacha, but in the case of Befana Nechta, Befana Nechta, you're talking about overriding a presumptive state, because she is an Eshesish. We're trying to claim that this get is authentic. That would alter her status. And how can we alter her status without, you know, two witnesses? So that's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara actually formulates it again. We'll get back to this. All the Rishonim, Balitosis, Ramban, etc. Like, want to know, why do you need both of these factors, Ischazak Yisura and Davar Sheba'erva? But okay, that's not for now. Either way, Ein Davar Sheba'erva Pachas Mishnayim. So the Gemara says, Bedinu Kim Shtaros Nami Lo Libai. That really, Kim Shtaros is not a biblical, that's a simple reading of the Gemara, not a biblical requirement. That minat Torah, the shtar defends itself against the claim that it is a forgery. Literally, when witnesses sign a shtar, it's as if they were interrogated and found to be credible. So they went through a process, you know, that negates any kind of you know, doubt about their, you know, kashrus, even though they did it, right? Let's just be clear. It's kind of, I wouldn't say legal fiction, but it's certainly not literally true at all. We are in Beis Din, we have a piece of paper, it's, you know, has somebody's scrawl on it, and the Din of Reish Lakish is telling us that that's the equivalent, you know, to Edom coming to court and being interrogated, meaning the judges asking them pointed questions to, you know, reinforce the idea that they're telling the truth. We don't know who these people are. You know, they didn't even need to be there at the critical moment. We're not sure if this is a real signature or a fraudulent one, and we're invoking Reish Lakish. So you can already see what's going on with Reish Lakish. But Rabbanan hu da'atzruch, they do require kiyum. And then the Gemara discusses, like, why is that a kula? If you had higher standards, maybe the Baal wouldn't be inclined or tempted, at least. The Gemara says, Haikulo chumrahu di matzracha satre la asibala ma'arer pasale chad asibala ma'arer u pasale. If you have higher standards, he'll be disinclined to challenge. Says the Gemara, Kivin Amar Mar Bifnei Kamanosno, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chanina, Chanamar, Bifnei Shnayim, Bechanam, Bifnei Gimel, Meikar Medak Dayik, Velo Asi La Rue Nafshe. So this is a very fascinating Gemara. This is the Gemara in Shas that is most expansive on the powers of Reish Lakish. As I mentioned previously, what I mentioned previously is that there are two Bavlis, two Gemaras in the Talmud Bavli that speak about Reish Lakish. There's this Gemara, and I'll just mention it because we read it already, and the Gemara in Ksuvis. Gemara in Ksuvis, and Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, is talking about the principle of Kivin Shehigid, Shuvin Echozer Magid, meaning once Edom testify in court, they cannot recant their testimony, all things being equal. And what the Gemara says is that that's true not only for Eidos Al Peh, Reuven and Shimon, living, breathing human beings who come to court, who are interrogated. You know, they're not allowed to come back the next day and say, ha, it was all, you know, a hoax, or, you know, we slept on it and we remember it differently now this morning. They can't do that. They came to court, they testified, they were, you know, examined. And therefore, their testimony is not subject to being recanted. But the Gemara says, would that be true for the scrawl on a piece of paper? Meaning, let's say we can find those people, and they say, yes, we signed, let's say, but, we weren't really qualified. Or, yes, we signed, you know, but that isn't really what happened. So maybe they can recant just because, you know, especially if what they're saying is, you know, something that is compatible even with or understandable. So the Gemara says, no, that's a din of Reish Lakish. Ein maksum ashtar nasa kemishin nechkar etzum ebezu. We treat them like edim al peh who were nechkar, and therefore they had their opportunity, and when they signed, that was their testimony, and the books are closed on that particular Eidos. So that's the Gemara. However, I would say the Gemara here, that's what the Ritva asks. The Ritva says, like, you know, just because the Ritva assumes, based on a little bit on the Yerushalmi, like that the original Reish Lakish, would say, was Kim Chigit Shuvin Echozer Magid. So the question was, just because, and that's already a big Chiddush, you're applying the same standards as interrogated real witnesses, you know, with respect to the inability to retract, does that mean that when we don't even know if the shtar is authentic, that the shtar defends itself based on Reish Lakish? That's an even bigger leap from what already was a big leap. So the Ritva gives several answers to this question. The second answer, which is the most important one, is yes, Reish Lakish meant both of these things, because the big idea in Reish Lakish is Alima Edusa Bishtar, meaning somehow when it comes to Eidos Bishtar, we pull out all the stops. We maximize, you know, the kashrus, you know, of this shtar until, you know, we can't, unless there's irrefutable, I would say irrefutable, let's say contrary, actually, Eidos evidence that, you know, contradicts it. Otherwise, yes, the shtar is this instrument that, you know, has self-protective powers. That's the din of Reish Lakish. So if you look at Tosis and Ksuvis on Daf Chav Ches on an Aleph, which we also have here, the Tosis is very also there. It's like the Ritva, Tosis is bothered. So this, in mind, it's on page 5, probably, I'm sure Zev did a better job. Oh, let's see. Page 5. Huh? Okay. We're literally on the same page. Right? Okay. I'm just going to keep, because I have mine and I have page 5, right? So Tosan Chapches Amid Aleph says Tema. This is, there's another Gemara. This is a Gemara that says here we have the Mishnah as well, right? Veilu Nemanim Lahay Begodla Mashiro Bekatan. So again, this is a very interesting question. You know, what if somebody witnesses something when they're not able to testify because they're too young? You know, now they come of age. Can they testify as an adult to something that they experienced as a youth? Right? Really interesting question. So basically what the Mishnah says is some cases yes and some cases no. Elu Nemanim, these are the cases where you are believed. L'hoid begod l'mashiro b'kodna. Neman adam lomar zek savyada shal abba, zek savyada shal rebi, zek savyada shal achi, zachor ha'isi v'plonis shiyatza b'hinuma v'rosha perua, v'shaya ish ploni yotza mi'beis ha'sefer, litvol lecho b'truma, sheicholik imanu ala goron, goren, right, ha'mokom hazeh beis pras, right, ad kan ha'inu boin b'shabes, aval ein adam neman lomar derech ha'ya l'ploni mokom zeh, meaning some things yes, some things no. And the Gemara explains, we don't care who, and all these other considerations fall away, because since Kiyum Shtaros is only a requirement, Rabbanan, and nu Rabbanan b'drabanan. So here the Gemara says, again, what it says in Gittin, which is that Kiyum Shtaros is only a rabbinic requirement, meaning Minat Torah you don't need to authenticate, because Minat Torah, the Shtar protects itself, based on the Din of Reish Lakish. So that's what Tosis asks, Tema. Given the Midaraisa, Filo Ein Edim Shakira Kasimas Edim, right? Hashtar Kosher. You're going to tell me that Minat Torah, you know, you have zero, you know, substantiation, and you're assuming that this is a proper contract each time, Minat Torah. Im came Kol Adam Sheyirtza Yazayev. Again, you could have asked what I call the catch 22 question, which is how could the Shtar protect itself if the question is whether it's a Shtar? But he's not asking, he's asking a more practical question. You know, once you, if this were true, wouldn't you be opening the floodgates, you know, for every, you know, dishonest, you know, entrepreneur? Kol Adam Sheyirtza Yizayev V'yichtov V'yachtom Ma Sheyirtza V'yigba Mimenu. Basically, you know, with impunity, you know, people could just, you know, fraud each other. V'hacha omeri, diga lemeimar, kigon shalova moda shakasa, v'toin shu parua, kasarvai tana de moda b'shtar shakasa, tzarech lekaimo, haikim avavadim midraban. Maybe we're talking about a case where everybody agrees that the shtar is authentic. The question is whether or not, you know, other aspects of the protection of the shtar are in place. For example, as we've discussed, shtar chabiyadi, you know, my boy, when this person holds a shtar, so not only do we know that there was a loan, the assumption is that the loan has not been repaid, even if that's the claim that the lova makes. We talked about this when we talked about Ksaviado. Because, Shtar Chaviadi, my boy, because otherwise why would the Malva be holding on? Why would he still be holding on a Shtar? Why wouldn't you have torn that up or received a receipt, you know, to neutralize it? Like, who's going to leave a smoking gun in the hand of the other party? So that's called shtar chabiyadi my boy. So what Tosa is saying is, oh, shtar chabiyadi my boy, for purposes of shtar, normally, for shtar chabiyadi my boy purposes, you don't need kiyum, because they all agree that it was an authentic shtar. But, you know, midrabanan, you know, in order to, you know, for this to work, you would want the shtar to be mukuyum. Okay, that's a far cry from, you know, anybody being able to cheat anyone else, or my catch 22, right? Inami, Tosa gives another answer. Kagonchin is kind misada acha, some mishte sados, viyota taklis yad atmo. Maybe what we're really saying is, that, you know, that we could be makil, let's say, in the technique, let's say, of authenticating a ksav yad. So then even if normally, like from one transaction to another, you wouldn't be able to like compare the contracts and the handwriting, etc. But here we would be more open-minded about that. Then it's a far, far cry for saying that Reish Lakish means that the shtar always defends itself, especially from a tain of mezuyah, completely. However, Tosus in the end says, "Umiu Bereish Gittin Muchach Tafilo Hecha De'ein Makir Nachasim Maklal Havim Midaraisa Kimisha Nachor Yusuf Bez." Like basically, they're saying, "Not what can we do? We were unhappy with this conclusion, you know, but the conclusion seems to be rooted in the truth, which is that the shtar protects itself, because the Gemara in Gittin on Gimel Amud Aleph seems to say unequivocally that that's what happens. So that is, you know, that's kind of where we were and how we left it. But there are, as I say, other sources. So one of them is the Rambam, I believe we talked about. The Rambam in Perek Zayin, Hilchos Geirushin, Halacha Beis, which I'm sure we have here somewhere, does seem to say, yeah, it's on page one. Back to page one. The Rambam says, Bo habal v'irer, the Omar lo geirashti me'olam. The Baal came to court, and he challenged the authenticity of this shtar. He said, I never divorced her. Then they produced this get, right? To say, what do you mean never divorced her? Here's the bill of divorce. The get shehuva la mezuyefu. He says, this is a forgery. You know, it has no validity. So the rule is, yiskayim bechosamav. Okay, that's a din of kiyum saros. Vim lo niskayim velo nodu edav klal. If it was not authenticated, teitze vavlad mamzer. Ooh, so those are serious words. So now what the Rambam seems to be saying is that there, in the absence of authentication, this get is batel mevutel, and if she goes ahead and remarries on the basis of this get, that would be an illicit relationship, which if a child was produced in that relationship would be a mamzer. Shaharei eina migureshes. So what does Rambam seem to be saying? That there's a kiyum shtaros that is doraisa, meaning there is a irur habal which effectively destroys the validity of a shtar. At least a get. Of it I get, I raise a suffix migureshes. Fine. So, interestingly, the Nesivos has a take on this Rambam. He says, in Simon Mem Vav, I believe, Vim lo niskayim v'lo nodu edav klal. He says, these words, v'lo nodu edav klal, what are they doing there? Right? Why isn't it enough for the Rambam to say, Vim lo niskayim klal, or Vim lo niskayim, teitzei v'avlad mamza shreinu begureshes? So the Nesivos said, oh, this is not just irur habal, meaning he is agreeing that according to the Rambam there is a case of kiyum shtaros d'oraisa. But what he's saying is, you know, he's going to make you work for it. So the only case of kiyum shtaros d'oraisa, according to the Nesivos, is a case where there is irur habal and we have no clue that's what these words mean, according to him. V'lo nodu edav klal. I mean, we don't even know, we don't have the beginnings even of a method to track down, you know, and to determine whether or not these people are fiction or they're real or who they are. You know, like, you know, Bill and Bob. You know, that's it. Not from Hoboken and not from, you know, Chesapeake Bay, or, you know, Saskatoon, right? No, we just, no identification whatsoever, no potential, you know, to even investigate. That's a madrega. Even then, it's not in the Gemara, but that would be the Rambam. The others do not hold that way. They just take these words to mean v'lo nodu eid of klal means imlo niskayim, meaning we weren't able to verify, and there, i.e., we don't, you know, we didn't succeed in figuring out that these are the real eidim. But the words v'lo nodu eid of klal are not they're not a game changer. They're not some additional factor that explain, you know, what otherwise is a very difficult route. Okay. Most people assume, including the Chidushi Agriz, who discusses this from another point of view, but we'll get to that, hopefully. Most people assume that what the Rambam's saying here is true not only in Geirushin, but Bechlal, meaning that the Rambam is providing an opening, an exception to Reish Lakish. Whether it's the Nesivus's, you know, additional condition or not, but with Rambam, when he says Vlad Mamzer, and that the Ir Rabal works, let's assume without the Nesivus for the moment, Ir Rabal requires Kim Shtaros Daraisa, that would be true not only in a get, but also in a Shtar Bilba. However, we should note that in Hilchos, Malva Velova, and so on, there's no evidence of this. I mean, the Rambam does not, you know, repeat this halakha. He does repeat this halacha, maybe, in Perek Yud Beis, halacha Gimel, Beis and Gimel, in Geirushin. Maybe we'll talk about that, but the that expands the circumstances beyond simply the case of Mizuyev to things like, you know, the guy said, you know, it was on Tznai, or things like that. So that would be important if that's really what the Rambam meant. Not so clear whether Perek Yud Beis, halacha Gimel, is exactly Perek Zayin Halacha Beis. But either way, the evidence that we have is that this din of Kim Shtaros Daraisa, which the Rambam was, you know, taken to task for, basically, is only in Hilchos Geirushin. The Rav thought, I think I mentioned this before, if I didn't, I'll mention it now, that maybe this is only in Hilchos Geirushin. And that's because the Baal has, you know, continued sway, you know, continued power, continued relevance, even after, you know, the contract has been written. At least until the contract is delivered, the Haraya, the Rama Lashitaso, a discussion in the Rishonim, depends how you read the Gemara, in a Shaleach, but the Rambam at least is of the opinion that in principle, the Baal can be Mevatel, the Lishma, of the get once it's written. This is a big, again, it depends how you read the Gemara later on. But, you know, all the Rishonim ask this question. They say, like, you know what, you write, the Sofer writes a Sefer Torah Lishma, and then the next morning or an hour later, he can say, I'm a Vata Lishma. Once he's done his job, he's done his job. If he has to write more and he doesn't write it Lishma, that's something else. But, you know, if it's finished and done with, you know, that chapter is closed, and it's closed, you know. So, like, why does some Rishonim think, depending on the Girsa and the Gemara, that when it comes to Gittin, you know, the Baal can take away the Lishma? So, you know, the more we think that, you know, also Lishma is a stage of the Geirushin, something which I've been pushing, the more this is understandable. But even otherwise, the idea is that the Sefer Torah, the Sofer in the Sefer Torah has really, you know, no aside from the fact that he creates the Osios, but he's not the Baal HaSefer Torah. He's the Baal HaYitziras HaOsios when he's doing it, maybe, but he's not the Baal of the Sefer Torah. But the Baal is the Baal of the Isha and of the process of Gittin and of the Get. So the Rav thought, maybe this idea that Irur HaBaal is different.
Is that only until Mesira, or that is in post-Mesira? Because Irur's project was post-Mesira.
Right, so maybe, I mean, it's Mechudash. I mean, he's claiming there was no Mesira, right? So, it's also a little bit of a catch-22. But either way, the point is that he's trying to make the argument that just like he can be Mevatel Lishma after the Maisa Ksiva, so, you know, maybe he remains the Shein Bailim you know, over the get. Right now, Gugu, for sure, he's not going to be the Shane Bylin once there's an agreed upon Mesira. You know, that's part of, you know, Croesus and everything that goes along with it. But here, as I say, there is a bit of a catch-22. The question is, does the catch-22 mess up that, you know, equation, or at least that indication, or not? I think it's an interesting point.
How about if the sofer writes the Sefer Torah for himself? If he's a Baal Sefer Torah.
I don't think he's still not the Baal Sefer Torah. You write a Sefer Torah for yourself, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you own it in Dine Bamanis, but you don't own... You're not the Baal Sefer Torah with respect to its Lishma. Right? It's a certain objective Yetzira that was created. It's a Davar Shebikdusha. So, you know, the Sefer Torah, you own it in Dine Bamanis. I mean, you can, you know, you can negotiate with the shul, you know, whether they use it for, you know, for Shabbos or for Yontif, you know, or you know, or who gets the aliyahs in it, you know. All the good things, you know, that one, you know, has the potential to, you know, impose conditions on. But that's because you're the Dine Bamanis owner of the Sefer Torah. But you're not, and let's say you gave up your Dine Bamanis rights, then, but even if you didn't, you're not the Baal Sefer. It doesn't give you any prerogatives in the Chefs of Kedusha Sefer Torah. Anyways, so yeah, so that's the Rambam, and A, you have the Nesivah's point of view, you have the view of most people who assume this is a universal statement that the Baal can be Ma'arer, and C, this idea of the Rav, that maybe this is a special din in Gerushin, and you know, maybe his explanation, my explanation, either way. Good. What do you do with the Gemara? Doesn't the Gemara say that Kiyum Shtaros is only Drabanan? So the answer is the Gemara, if you look very, very carefully, at least this Gemara. This Gemara does not really contradict the Rama. Because this Gemara is basically anticipating. Right? It is not responding, you know, to an actual error. And this Gemara is saying like this, you need b'fana nechtam in case, because you don't want the Baal to be ma'arer, or to be, you know, encouraged to be ma'arer. Right? And if you come to court and you b'fana nechtam, b'fana nechtam, you know, so even though had there been a requirement of kiyum shtaros d'oraisa, eid echad wouldn't be enough, it's only drabanan. What do you mean it's only drabanan? Meaning, the get, in the absence, at minimum what the Gemara is saying is, the get, in the absence of an iror habal, right, is an effective get midoraisa without authentication. As you could have thought, you could have said, kiyum shtaros d'oraisa, meaning, across the board. Meaning, any document, any contract that appears in court is a piece of paper until we know it's a contract. And you have to proactively, as a prerequisite, to give it the status of a shtar. And that requires kiyum shtaros. That's what we would have thought. And the Gemara is saying, but that isn't true, because kiyum shtaros is drabanan. So all that has to mean, at minimum, in the Gemara, is that proceeding to use a contract, even though it has not been substantiated, is d'oraisa acceptable, at least when there's no iur rabal. But we don't know what happens if there's an iur rabal, right? Because that's not necessarily what this Gemara is worried about. This Gemara is saying, you know, can you use the shtar? The answer is you can't use it. Can you use the get? The answer is not drabanan without a b'fanei nachta, but d'oraisa, yes. But if Baal comes in as actually ma'arer, yeah.
Is that Gemara above him a base saying you can?
So the Gemara in Bava Beis, however, that is a different story. Right? That is a more serious problem. So what is the Gemara in Bava Beis? And that's the question that is implied a little bit in the Or Zeruah, but, you know, is much, much more clearly articulated, maybe only fully articulated, by the Shach in Siman Mem Vav. The Gemara says on Vav Amud Beis, whoa, there's like some heavy-duty learning going on in this Gemara. You know, I guess that's a good thing. Stars and pictures and all sorts of, well, but with passion, you know. Okay, so the Gemara says the following. Rav Chanin Mishtoi, right? Rav Kahana Aisi Gita Vlayad, that's the bottom of Vav Amid Aleph. Vlayadana imi sur l'nardo, minardo l'sura asal kabadur. Rav Amalei Tzarichna l'neymar b'fani nechtam, b'fani nechtam, olo Tzarichna. So he went, you know, from this to that, you know, in Babel, different places, and he wanted to know, does he need b'fani nechtam or not? This is the bottom line on Vav Amid Aleph. So the Gemara says, Amalei lo Tzrichas. You don't need to say b'fani nechtam from this place to that place. You could get away without it. However, he also added v'e of this, but if you did say it, ahanis, it'll work. I mean, it'll be effective. So the Gemara says, my e of this ahanis, what does that mean? Diyasi baal ma'arer. If the Baal were to come and challenge this get, after the Shliach said, b'fanei nechtam, lo mashgichinan bei, we would ignore the challenge. Look, if you look at Tosas, Tosas says, mashma de b'fanei nechtam moel be'eretz Yisrael, right? Tosas wants to discuss, and others discuss whether this is true or not. Meaning, is this Gemara saying, this Gemara seems to be saying two things, one of which, well, both of which. So the two things it seems to be saying is, number one, you could have said that b'fanei nechtam is a takana, and it only works where you require it. But where you don't need it, maybe it's also not effective. Especially since it's a chiddush in b'fanei nechtam, right? Namely, you might have thought that you need to aid it, at least on the Rabbana level. So who says that if you don't need it, that it works? Right? So that's what Tosis is saying. You know, this isn't just here to here, it's also Eretz Yisrael. Other people say, oh, what about, you know, the Isha? This is like an interesting discussion in the Rishonim and Acharonim already. Let's say the Isha does not require, you know, if she brings her own get, or if she's, I'm sorry, if she receives the get, she doesn't, you don't require b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. So, but let's say, b'fanei nechtam was said. Is that like Misura Lupumpadisa or Me'aretz Yisrael, or people are different than places? Meaning, is there a rule that there's a chalos b'fanei nechtam even if you don't need b'fanei nechtam? Or no? Maybe they only gave it clout, you know, when it was mandated. Right? Okay. So that's point number one. That's, you know, but at least in terms of places, the Gemara seems pretty clear on that. Point number two is that this Gemara says explicitly that b'fanei nechtam fends off a challenge of Irur Habal. So the question is, how could that be according to the Rambam? If the Rambam holds that Irur Habal is, what did we say a second ago? Kiyum Shtaris can still be drabanan in the Gemara and Gimel Amud Aleph, right? Even though the Rambam says that if there's Irur Habal, that the child would be a mamzer, meaning you'd need Kiyum Daraisa. Why is that not a stira? Because the Gemara didn't say there was Irur Habal. The Gemara only said that you don't need Kiyum Daraisa in order to use the get, maybe only in a case where there's no Irur Habal. But you're correctly pointing out that this Gemara goes further. This Gemara says if there's Irur Habal, then b'fanei nechtam works. So if you put this Gemara together with that Gemara, it sounds like Kiyum Shtaros being drabanan would be even b'makom Irur Habal. Unless you say some things, you know. So one thing you might want to try to say, the question is, A, is this, you know, true? Or is it counterintuitive? Or just maybe it isn't counterintuitive, but it's just not true. Meaning, does it matter when there's Irur Habal? I mean, does b'fanei nechtam's effectiveness, is it possibly greater when it's unnecessary? Right? In other words, those who ask the question are assuming that b'fanei nechtam, if it's chal, you know, then it's either equal to Or you might have thought that it was weaker than the b'fanei nachtam that's mandated. And therefore you could bring a proof from b'fanei nachtam of vav amud beis to b'fanei nachtam of gimel amud aleph. But maybe you could argue that, you know, that it isn't, not only is it, you know, that mimad shak. Either we were going to say that b'fanei nachtam only works when it's mandated, or we're going to say that, you know, if it's not mandated and you choose to say b'fanei nachtam, that makes it even more powerful. So in a doma, the b'fanei nachtam that's a rishus, if you will, to the one that's a requirement. In which case, just because b'fanei nachtam neutralizes ir rabal and vav mid beis, that's because vav mid beis is a case where there's no need for b'fanei nachtam. Right. So that's what I meant when I said a second ago. You might say that, you know, it's kol shekein. You might say it's equal, or you might say it's different. Okay. If not, then we have to find another solution. Now again, if the nesinus is right, it's not so terrible, because you could say, oh, that's in a case where, we know where to start our search, or at least we have hope, you know, that the Adim's identity, you know, can be discovered, right? But the Gemara is talking about a case. I'm sorry, but the Rambam's talking about a case where that's not possible at all. So there's no, you know, umdana, like Rashi says that the basis is lochotzif inish luzyufe. You know, lochotzif inish luzyufe. Is that? I mean, that's an interesting question too. It's not so clear. But meaning, just it's in the nature of human, people would never do that. I mean, they just can't or won't, or in the time of the Gemara they couldn't or wouldn't. Or what it means is they couldn't and they wouldn't because there's a little bit of mirtas, you know, because it's, you know, you're going to get caught, you're going to be in the front page of the New York Times. You know, it doesn't stop a lot of people, apparently, but from doing all sorts of things. But, it's, you know, which is it? So this is a serious question. So either you have to give this kind of an answer, or you have to say somehow that b'fanei nachtam, the dindra banan of b'fanei nachtam works against iror habal, even though it started off as a drabana. Okay, well, we'll get back to that. Some people suggest there's like a medek dayik, like a Mishnah makes a suggestion. But hold me, remind me to get back to it, because it's interesting what people suggested to get out of this problem for the Rambam. Most people certainly did not make the suggestion I made before about b'fanei nachtam, you know, being stronger when it's unnecessary. So the Lechem Mishnah at least threw out this kind of trial balloon, but then he himself, you know, knocked it down, and that is, oh, all the Rambam said was that whenever there's iror habal, then, you know, kiyum shtaros is d'oraisa. Does that necessarily mean b'fanei nachtam d'rabanan, you know, cannot solve a d'oraisa problem? Well, typically a d'rabanan institution cannot solve a d'oraisa problem. That's why we're calling it d'rabanan. Except that maybe sometimes, you know, you have a situation where you're mitaken something d'rabanan as a requirement, but there's a certain, let's call it momentum, that goes with that takana. Meaning with that takana, you know, there evolves, let's say, different standards. And in particular, the Lechem Mishnah wanted to suggest that, because the Gemara says, don't worry about, remember the Gemara asked the question, you think you're doing her a favor by being Mako. If you were Machmir, right, you would discourage more appeals. You know, so better to be machmir, which is a longer term benefit for her, you know, than short term, you know, be meka. And then the Gemara said, no. Since he has to give it bifnei shnayim, so isha is meidak daik. It's very similar to the Gemara in Masechet Yevamos, the Gemara in Peches of Aleph in the beginning of Isha Rabba, which we'll also talk about, I hope, in the next few weeks. And that is the Gemara talks about, you know, the Mishnah there says that Misas HaBaal, if an Eilech had reported that that her husband was no longer alive, you know, then she can rely on that. You know, the Gemara has a whole discussion, like, how could that be? Just like the Gemara, it's parallel to the Gemara here. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? She's an Eish HaSeish. You know, she's going to rely on an Eid Echad that her husband no longer is alive and go out and marry her. Right? That's crazy. It's a Davar She'Be'erva, it's a Schazek Yisur. Almost the same, these are the two Gemaras, by Echad Ne'eman B'Yisurit. So the Gemara ends up saying, you know what the answer is? Mitoch Chomer Shechmarta Aleha B'Sofa, Hekalta Aleha B'Trilasa, because she's Medak Dayek. What does that mean? What it means is, the Mishnah describes a case where she came to court and they allowed her to remarry, you know, based on the evidence that her husband, you know, was not coming back, that he was that he had perished. And then the Mishnah, of course, is a case of Bahara Bradla, basically. And then all of a sudden, the husband, the dead husband, shows up in court one day. You know, and then what happens? It's mamzerim, and it's such a mess. So the Gemara says, mitoch shechmarta leha b'sofa. If she's playing around games here, or if the Einachon is playing games here, there's going to be, you know, havoc to pay. So she's not, you know, just hearing casually from the first, you know, guy who stops by that her husband died. You know, she's hiring, you know, the best detectives to find out that he's telling the truth. So she's medek dayek. So mitoch shechmarta b'sofa hekalta b'tchilasa. Meaning, because she has, you know, devastating consequences, if she missteps here, we rely on the fact that she's going to be very careful. So that's very similar. I'm not saying that they're exactly the same. Phenomenologically, they're the same idea. That's what the Gemara is saying here too. The Gemara is saying, you know, don't worry about b'fanei nechtam, inviting, you know, irur habal, you know, as opposed to kiyum shtaros, you know, bishnayim, because there's medek dayek. So that's what the Lechem Mishnah says. Maybe the answer for the Rambam is that even though b'fanei nechtam starts off as a drabanan, that's how the Gemara introduces it. You know, Kim Shtaros is Drabana. But then in the Hemshech on the Gemara, when the Gemara said, well, you're not doing her any favors, you know, better to be holding all this to a higher standard. Then the Gemara introduced a new idea, and that is Medek Dayek. So maybe, says the Lechem Mishnah, the Fanenechta might start off being a Drabana. I mean, the Chiyuv that you needed, that you can't move forward in a get without the Fanenechta, that's a chiyuv drabanan. I mean, at Torah, there's no requirement for that. But the idea that the Eid Echad, you know, combined with the Medek Dayek, is effective daraisa, maybe that's where the Gemara shifted gears. Originally, the Gemara thought this is stam and Eid Echad, b'davar she'be'erva. Then in the end, the Gemara is saying that there's a Medek Dayek. So that's why b'fanei nechtam is a more than your regular drabanan. So maybe that's what the Rambam would say too. If the Baal is Ma'arer, then Kiyum Shtaros is Daraisa. But if there's B'fanei nechtam, you know, the Medek Dayek of that puts it over the top, that will work even in a Kiyum Shtaros Daraisa. Just like maybe it works for Misas HaBaal. Except Tosis and many of the other Rishonim and Yavamas don't think that. They think that, you know, it works Daraisa, but kind of Afkinu or, you know, it's a very complicated topic. Okay, anyway, this is what we have, and this is where we are with the Rambam. So, like, what do you do with this Rambam? I've given, anyway, the Lechem Mishnah, I should mention, in Perek Zayin, Halacha Beis, who makes a suggestion about Medek Dayek, he ends up rejecting it. He says, listen, the Gemara didn't say Medek Dayek in connection with B'fanei Nechta being effective Daraisa. They said Medek Dayek to answer a lesser problem. Namely, there's a policy crisis here, or question here, and that is it wise to be machmir? Will it be better for her if you're machmir? Will it be better for her if you're meiko? So the Gemara says, at the end of the day, it'll be better if you're Mako. What about inviting more challenges? Medak Dayak can take care of that. But there's no evidence that the Gemara ever said that Medak Dayak ups the credibility of the Eidachad, Befanenachtam, and makes it credible to solve a Daraisa problem. So Lechem Mishnah says, I understand that you can take the words Medak Dayak and you can apply them that way, but, what gives you the right to assume that just because the Gemara meant it for a policy issue, my words, but that's basically what he's saying, that it also has impact, in a substantive way, to carry it over the threshold. So therefore, the Lechem Mishnah ends up saying, I just don't know. Other people say other things. Yehoshua actually says this idea of the Lechem Mishnah. He comes back and he says, once the Gemara introduced it, so it was implicit, that it's also going to work d'oraisa.
So. Yeah. So Lechem Mishnah's conclusion is that Medak Dayak just means practically the Baal is not going to become Mahatumar because...
You don't have to worry about inviting Ira Baal because she's anyways going to be so careful that, that likelihood is very low.
But if the Baal
How do you
comes,
do this?
But if the Baal comes...
Oh,
wow. That's impressive. Oh, that's
impressive. But if the Baal were to come, then.
Okay, that's why you have to leave these things to the professionals, right? Oh. Okay. So, if the Baal were to come. I was going to say it's only water, but it's not true, right? If the Baal were to come and were to be Ma'arer, then if you read the Gemara that Pashas, like the Lechem Mishnah is suggesting, then the Befanenachtam Befanenachtam wouldn't help you if the Iror had a Koach D'oraisa. Right? Okay, good. So now this leaves us. Either wiped out all the writing here, or it's like Hashgacha that just missed it. Okay. Maybe the Coke will be an inspiration. So this idea of the Rambam is not only the Rambam, and maybe there's even a more expansive expression of all this, and that is in the famous Tshuva of Rav Avigdor. So now I want to get to that, even though we're not going to finish this because... A massive, massive tshuva. Okay, so let's look at Rav Avigdor. And that should be on...
520.
Page 5, line 20. Okay, great. 1 second. 1-3. I made a mess of this. Oh, here it is. Okay, great. So this is the Mordechai. This is Agos Mordechai in Kiddushin. Okay? And as I said a couple of weeks ago, this is just like an interesting phenomenon. We're only going to get also to the beginning of it. But it's an interesting phenomenon because the issues are very crucial and they can happen anytime. Meisim Shemachol Yom, obviously. I mean, the question of authenticating a contract and Reish Lakish... And, how far do you push Reish Lakish? I mean, the self-protective. It's just, an issue waiting to happen. The ubiquity of it must be, very frequent. Number one. The legal issues involved, like testing Reish Lakish and this concept of, a self-protective mechanism, they're on... you're kind of impelled to discuss these questions. And yet, this particular case and exchange became like, number one, it was a cause celeb. It was like, all over the New York Times, basically. It was first it was in the New York Post, then it, got to the New York Times. But this isn't much of a difference anymore. So now it's, yeah. So, like everybody was, was involved in this case, but the legal issues that it engendered kind of crystallized you know, this whole question. And like from that point on, it was Rav Avigdor and the Or HaZeruah. Except that the Or HaZeruah part wasn't known, I think I mentioned this also, because people didn't have access to the text. So it's a tshuva, the Or HaZeruah. I mean, it's in the, you know, in the collections that we have, but people didn't, for some reason, they knew of this exchange through the Marik. And they thought that it was, many people thought it either was a tshuva, the Marik, or somebody, you know, contemporary. And, you know, the Shach basically called them out. He didn't know it was the Or HaZeruah either, but it was clear to him that it was a contemporary of Rav Avigdor, meaning it was a Rishon. Part of the discussion was, listen, it's a Marik, but, you know, if the Marik, you know, if they'd known, like you take a Rishon and a Marik, you know, that was part of, like, the discussion. Rav Avigdor is a contemporary of the Or HaZeruah, like a 12th century, 12th to 13th century Kach Me'ashkenaz. And, you know, we've got him in here, actually. It's not like such a, you know, a far-off question, because we've got his Rebbe in here, we've got his father-in-law in here. Like, the whole Rav Avigdor family is involved.
Because the Mordechai is written, like, 200-300 years later, right?
About 200. I mean, but the Mordechai captures exactly what the Mordechai is for. I mean, Mordechai captures, you know, Kach Me'ashkenaz, you know, of this era. Anyways, so this is Ma'isa Hayah. I'm just going to read a little bit because it's so amazing. Ma'isa Hayah b'shnei b'nei adam she'yusonim zelozeh. We'll get back past the case, and at least the beginning of Rav Avigdor, at least. Ma'isa Hayah b'shnei b'nei adam she'yusonim zelozeh. So there was a story, and this is like a real case, as I say, which triggered all these legal issues. It's halacha, you know, in the laboratory, happening in front of your eyes, basically. So these two people hated each other. Inconceivable, right? But apparently it happens. B'halacha echad, v'hishchid artiloi, echad sheyotzi laz. So one of them hired, you know, a detective or, you know, somebody. Sheyotzi laz albito shel chavero, shekidsha. So he tells his man that, you know, he should spread a rumor that his antagonist's daughter got married, right? The hiskeredim she'idu shekinshu, and he hired, you know, there was no expense, you know, spared in this, you know, vendetta, right? So he hires these witnesses who are going to testify that the antagonist's daughter is married. The kosfu shtar, then they wrote it up in a shtar, Befanenu chasume mato, you know, in our presence, as we are signed below, kinish ploni as bas ploni, bahaya osa shtar mekuyim behen, not only that, but they got it authenticated. A henpek is an authentication. Begimel dayanim, shayu me'idim aksima sa'edim. Okay, so far, so good. Like, the fraud is working perfectly. Okay? But now it's going to completely unravel. So number one, ha'echad min adayanim hayakarav lenara. That's just plain carelessness. If you're going to perpetuate a fraud, you know, so do a little bit of investigating, right? It's like you're saving a couple dollars, you know, like that's just not even impressive at all. So one of the judges on the henpeck is related to the so-called bride. You know, so there's no longer a henpeck. Okay, that's a careless. Ba karov, the echa min achasum v'ala henpeck, ve'idu b'fnei bezdin, sha'idim b'shtar kiddushin, he'idu al ksav yadam. It doesn't stop him. I mean, he got paid already. So the relative, you know, who's posel, you know, that's pretty easy to figure out. But he comes with one of the other two rechokim dayanim, let's say, and they come to court and they say, yeah. I mean, this is, you know, this was, you know, authenticated document. But Hagimololol Bezdin, the third guy, who's also not related, he doesn't come to court. Lahayid al kacha, right? The gam ha'edim achsum b'shtar kedushin makishin edei henpek, and the so-called witnesses on the Kiddushin themselves contradict the Dayanim who claim, or the two of the Dayanim, one of whom was not even a kosher to be a Dayan, they're being contradicted now by the Eidim.
The Dayan is a Korov to the Nara.
Yeah.
He's being made on the Chasim Asiyad of the
So that's Eidim. That's a question, I don't want to get into that right now, but that's part of the later on discussion. That's a second parak of Ksuvah's question. Meaning, you're raising a very good point. How independent, right, is the Eidus and the Dayanus on the Ksav Yad, you know, relative to the case? You know, to what extent can you look at the, you know, handwriting, you know, part of the Din Torah as something that is isolated, right, in which case it really shouldn't matter, or no, it's all about, if I spilled it, I should drink it at least. It's all about, why do we care about the, you know, it's not a John, you know, Hancock Institute. So it's we only care about the signatures because of the impact of the case. So that's a second paroxysmus issue.
Okay.
Yeah. In the telling of this tale, the assumption at the moment is that that's a school. That's a pagan. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, so the Eidim Makhishim Edi Ahenpek, this is just like, you know, a comedy of errors almost. The Amr Be'olam Lochasamnu. They say it's not our signature. Right? As we know who Bob and Bill are, and Bob and Bill come to court and say, this is not a Bob and Bill signature, right? The Gam, Balashtar, so to make matters worse, right, the so-called husband comes to court, Hainu HaMekadesh Atzmo, and he's Modesh Ashar Shul Kiddushin Mezuyafu. Either he has a pang of conscience, or he sees it's all unraveling. You know, so he's already, you know, planning his exit strategy, trying to get goodwill, right? Or maybe, actually, according to the story in the Or Zeruah, you know, he didn't know anything about it. It wasn't his, it was the uncle. It's always the uncle. It was the mean uncle. Anyways, his shivo rabbanim v'hitiru below get. Now, this is not surprising, right? So the rabbanim said that, you know, that there's no get. The get is, there's so many strikes against this get. Like, who's going to believe this get? It's riddled with weakness. Okay. So then the Mordechai reports, Harava Ravigdar Heshiv, Kama Dio Mishtapech, right, V'kumasim Mishtabrim, right, and he didn't spill the coke, that was me. Laruch Marachos V'dvar Halachos is the poetry part. Lahavi Guvrin, Rushtar Berurin, Al Odos Ha'alma Haguna, this wonderful, upright, you know, girl, you know, and everybody's, you know, there's so much ink being spilled and efforts being made, you know, to slander her. Asher Bikshu La'agna, they want to, you know, leave her as an Haguna. B'kahalam B'sodam, right, V'lo Ala B'yadam, you know, like Shimon and Levi. You know, but it didn't work. Kiatsur magen ba'ada, right? Lahamidal kavoda. The Rebbeinu Shlolem, you know, intervened. Bezos tia loli eda la'achris v'tikva ki ein davar shebe'erva pakos mishnayim v'kan ein shnayim el alpe v'lo b'ksav ki osa shnayim ha'omrim b'kiyum p'shtar chosum be'edim v'osam beis edim aksum me'ibu lifneim. V'lifnei Gimel, al ksav yadam, osa shlishi lobo lebezin, v'echon me'elu abeis shabo lifnei bezin, heim chasum lehempek echon me'am korov l'nara machmas ishto, it's machmas ishto, nimsa she'en kan, elo echad, she'omer she'edim he'idu al ksav yado. There's only one dayan standing, because one is a karo, the other one is distancing himself from the whole thing. Meaning, in the end of the day, let's say all three were to come to court and say, yeah, there was evidence from the handwriting experts that this, you know, was authentic, it wouldn't matter anyway, because there still aren't 3 days on him for henpeck, because one of them objectively has been established as a karo. That's a, not just a charge, apparently that's a fact. So at the end of the day, objectively, there's no henpeck. Right? Never mind that one of them is mistayeg and said, I was never there, and there's only one. He said, even if there were all three, and they were all coming and claiming, it wouldn't matter. Right? And in henpeck, pakos migimel. Ah, there comes the key point. But at the end of the day, doesn't the shtar protect itself? The Had Amar Zal, right? Eidem Achsum Ashar Nasik Mishnach Radusim Bebezdin. The Maisel Abigmar Bidan, Reperik Kamad the Kedushin, Reperik Sheni Dixubas. What about Reish Lakish? And how can you, how can the claim be made? You have a shtar, there is a signature, there are signatures appended to it. You know, how can the claim be made that it's all a fraud? Right? Im kein, hachanami, hold the edim achsumim bishtar mi'idim shakidsha, meaning the edim as the signatures, im kein afagav de omrim mi'olam lo chasamnu, even if they themselves turn around the next day, that's kivin shikidshu v'nechozer magim, mi'komokom hayin lanu lochush, ho'il the edim henpik mi'idim bifneim she'idu al ksav yadam. Yeshlomar, Ikara Shomemra Zudure Shlaka Yeshubi Yerushalmi, that's number one, Diksubis, Vach Isa Hassam, Tani, Vachino Edim Sheidu, Bain Latame, Bain Latahar, Bain Larachik, Bain Lakariv, Bain Lasser, Bain Lahatir, Bain Lazakos, Bain Lachova, right? If Edim are made, no matter which direction, Ad Shalom Nechroidus of the Bezdin, if they're talking about Edus Alpet, until they are interrogated, right? Umru mevudinayinu, if they come to court and they say, it was all a hoax, we were just joking, we didn't mean it. Neman. Avalamamru mishinechkur bebezdin mevudinayinu, ein nemanim. Kibrai sezushinir perikshenil iksuvis betosafta besanhedrin, by perikvav, reishlaka shamar, asu edim achasum malashtar, kemishinechroitis and bebezdin. Mina Shamina, says the Ikar Milsa de Reish Lakish Linin Chazari Itmar. The main point of Reish Lakish, right, was not said about the self defense mechanism of the Shtar. It was said about Kim Chigin Shuvin Chozer Magid. When there is an admission that they saw it. Meaning there's no catch 22. You've authenticated the shtar, just that the edim themselves are now trying to recant. Right? Hachanami, the shtar, lomotzi hadjirbu achar chasima, the chasima b'makom chakira kaima. Now those are big words, but that's kind of what Reish Lakish means on Yud Ches Amud Beis. Meaning there was no actual interrogation. But signing a shtar is the equivalent to that. Afagav, debereish gittin, demaisi lo lo mayri she'edim omrim shuksav yadam. What about the argamar and gittin, the other Reish Lakish, where Reish Lakish is applied not to the inability to recant, the equivalent of interrogation when they admit it's ksav yadam, but where we don't even know to begin with, and we have no reinforcement or substantiation that is ksav yadon. Miu, ein omrim lo chasamnu. One second, did I skip a line? Gavagav debreshkit nemaisa lalomari she'enim omrim shu ksav yadon. Miu, ein omrim lo chasamnu. But the edim are not saying anything. It's true that there's no positive support for the ksav yad, but there's also no denial on behalf of the edim about the ksav yad. So it's a kind of in between, right? The holos nayu come on, they're simply not present, or we don't know who they are. Abba Ba'uvda Didan, says Rabbi Avigdor, Sha'omrim Me'olam Lo Chasamnu, Ve'ein Makhishin Al Echa Min Adyanim Shabbai Makarov, Hasam Dvarav B'Telim. So with the first point Rabbi Avigdor makes, that's crucial, is that if the Edom themselves, who are chasumim, come to court, not they say mevudamayinu, but they say ein zek sav yadenu, that's not trey utrey, right? That's not kibin shehigid, they would be nemanim. Meaning, there is kiyum doraisa, according to Rabbi Avigdor, the first point, if the Edom hachasumim themselves are makhish, right, the kashrus of the shtar. That's point number one. Then he adds, v'od. Now again, would the Rambam agree to this? Interesting question. In the Rambam, we only have evidence that if the Baal is ma'arer, you would think kol shekein, on the one hand, meaning if the Baal could be ma'arer, and that would trigger kiyum daraisa, kol shekein if the Edim themselves said it's not our ksaviyad. However, if the
wouldn't that also be in the Rambam? They couldn't remember the Gevurshin if they didn't write it. So then the Rambam would say that it's not a proper shtar.
Say that one more time.
Isn't it in the Rambam that he says that the Edom you can only use the shtar if the Edom remember it, remember the Edos.
Oh.
And so then if they said, like, we were never there, we don't know anything, it's not our handwriting, then clearly they don't remember it.
Right. Maybe. I mean, that's what I'm saying in the Hilchos Eidos.
Right.
So, and then the question, exactly what does he mean by that?
Right, whether it transfers.
Right. I hear that. That's something to think about. What I was thinking about more was, if you take the view that what the Rambam says in Perek Zayin Halacha Beis, but I hear what you're saying, that's actually a good point. But if you take Perek Zayin Halacha Beis and you think that it is true, Bein Beget, Bein Bishtaros, so then Iru Rabal creates a Kiyum Shtaros Araisa, probably Kol Shekein, you know, if the Edim deny that it's their signature. But if you take the view, if you say what the Rav was saying, which is that this is a special din in Iru Rabal Beget, and it's because the Baal's the Baal Ashtar, you might not apply that to the Edim. There's no evidence the Rambam.
By the Baal, there's no Kibbutz Shehigin.
I'm sorry?
By the Baal, there's no Kibbutz Shehigin. So if he's Ma'arev, the Baal.
What does Kibbutz Shehigin have to do with anything? There's no Kibbutz Shehigin here either. They're not saying Bevuda Mayinu. They're saying it's not our signature.
No, but we don't accept their
statement. No, we do. Our Rabbi Avigdor does. The whole point of the Rabbi Avigdor is saying, first thing Rabbi Avigdor is saying is the Gemara in Gittin never said that if the Edom themselves claim that it's a forgery and they didn't write it, then we wouldn't believe them. The Gemara is not talking about the Edom Makhishim.
Right.
I'm just saying Rambam says that the Baal being Ma'arer requires Kiyum Shtar Storaisa. Does that mean Kol Shekein the Edom? Oh, we'll see in Rabbi Avigdor in 1 second.
But shouldn't the Gemara elaborate that Chiddush, that if they say Mezuyah, that the Edom are believed?
No, because maybe that's obvious. I mean, the case there is
Ketanim on these things, whatever. Right.
Right. So we'll get to it, whether or not that's the same thing or not. We'll get to that. But right, Mizuyev is more of a, even more of a, you know, catch 22 for sure. It's not even a shtar. So can the shtar defend itself when the eight of themselves, you know, say that it's not a shtar? The other isn't the shtar either, but more for psulim. But
what happens if we have any hakosha that say that we saw you sign?
Oh, that would be interesting. That would be interesting. Right.
Work on that.
Yeah. No, it's not clear. It's not clear enough of it. The ode shabala shtar atzmo moda shehu mezuyav hilkachalayu samchina. So the first point of Rabbi Avigdor, you can see this is like a work in progress. So Rabbi Avigdor is thinking, the two witnesses, you know, they should be able to create an iru daraisa. Then he's saying, and not only that, it's two witnesses plus the support, in this case, of the Baal. Then he says, va'od nira, right, delo isa dereish lakish ala b'mokom shein makishon Vahudaresh gitin hoki prusha bedinu dikim shtaros velo lisni hechadaleka akasha kidaresh lakish tamre de maksumim rabbanan da atzer kiyum bishar shtaros betray afila hechadaleka akasha kidaresh lakish kagom bebarli farshalo pefana vomine somim belukuchos of babarsha betanina mizuya velo gavi ademekayim le betray. I'll explain in a second. So basically what the Rav Igdar says, he started off by saying, if the two Edim deny that it's their signature, that's Irur Daraisa. That requires Kiyum Shtaros Daraisa. Then he said, not only that, but here it's the two Edim plus the Baal. But then he goes further and he says, forget about that. The Irur Baal alone should be good enough. So there are three levels. You need both the two Edim and the Siyu HaBaal. That was the middle suggestion. That's like the best for Irur Daraisa. Then there is two Edim. That's Irur Daraisa. And then he says, not only that, I go further. Even the Irur HaBaal, even though it's less than the two Edim, it's still good enough. Why? He says, oh, that's not against the Gemara and Gittin for the reason that we discussed before. The Gemara and Gittin only says that to move forward, right, to move forward the midoraisa, you don't need kiyum shtaros. The Gemara never said that you can move forward midoraisa without kiyum shtaros if there's a hakasha, even of the Baal, which is what we were saying for the Rava. But of course, the Rava Vigdor is vulnerable to the Vavmud Beis question, right? Which we discussed before. And the Shach, the Orzor alludes to it, as I say, the Shach is very explicit about it. Actually, I should mention that the Shach, you know, is very emphatic that we don't paskin like Rav Avigdor. Let me say it this way. The Beis Shmuel in Evan Ezer, I believe, the Shmuel says that we paskin like Rav Avigdor. And the Shach disagrees. Shach's very emphatic. We do not paskin like Rav Avigdor, and he's the one who asks the question from Vavmud Beis. However, says the Shach, in my opinion, the line in Rav Avigdor about Shnayim Edim themselves, that maybe we paskin like. In other words, if the Baal is Ma'arer, you don't need Kiyum Shtaros Sarais. But if Shnayim are Ma'arer, I mean, then they themselves are Ma'arer, then you need Kiyum Shtaros Sarais. And the Ksos, when he quotes this Shach, doesn't quote it fully accurately, basically says, and the Shach rejects, you know, Rav Avigdor, Bein Be'ir Rabal and Bein B'Shnayim Eid. Okay, so what is the case of Kiyum Shtaros Darabana according to Rav Avigdor? The answer is he says, Ba Lifara Shalom Bafanov. Right? Let's say you want to make a collection. I'm going to stop here. And the guy's not there. So he's not Makhish. And he's not silent. He's just not afraid. He's traveling. Right? O minay somim al lekuchos, right? The somim and lekuchos is a question of taninan, but there's no akasha. Anytime there's akasha, says Rav Avigdor, there is no self-defense mechanism in the shtar. The self-defense mechanism of the shtar only applies so that you can move forward as long as there's no complaint. But if there's a complaint, either from the Baal or from the Edim, according to Rav Avigdor, significantly limited Reish Lakish. And what I'm going to try to show is, we'll stop here for a moment, but Rabbi Orzarua, who also begins with poetry, by the way, there are two letters in the Orzarua on this matter, nice poetry, says he thinks Rabbi Avigdor is totally wrong. And that even in this case, now that is a madrega, even in this case, the woman would require a get. That seems shocking. Because there's so much chicanery, so much obvious chicanery in this case, right? Even if you have like a very maximalist view of Reish Lakish, right? It's hard, you know, to sustain that, you know, in light, you know, of all the evident, fraud, in this particular case. But that just proves even more. Meaning, you might know in your heart that, there's something wrong here, but, the book, the law, Reish Lakish, is still applicable. You still can't be mater neshes ish, without a get. So I want to talk a little bit more about that part, and again, about part of the argumentation as well.